Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 26, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall as earnings from Amazon and Alphabet weigh on sentiment.
Japanese shares finish the week down 5% as Asian equities continue their slide.
Up next, Wall Street gets the first reading on third quarter U.S. GDP.
A postal facility in Florida is the focus in the pipe bomb investigation, and the Trump administration considers a travel ban on migrants at the southern border. I'm Pat Carroll. That's coming up.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, tough night locally on the ice, and week 8 of the NFL kicks off with a bang.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
And the reprieve for U.S. stocks is looking brief, with futures heading lower this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 34 points, Dow futures down 233, NASDAQ futures down 171. The DAX in Germany is down 1.9%, CAC in Paris down 2.2%, and the FTSE 100 down 1.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.4%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds, yield 3.08%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 93 cents. To $66.40 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.50 to $12.38.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1358. The yen, 111.93. Nathan.
Hi, Karen. Thanks. Let's start with the latest U.S. tech earnings. Shares of Amazon right now down 10% in early trading after the company issued a disappointing forecast for the holiday season. Brad Stone has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Amazon missed a little bit on the top line, although it beat on profit. That fourth quarter guidance was weak, so I think investors are a little worried about that. But Amazon is often kind of conservative. And, you know, in terms of the segment slowdown, it's kind of the law of large numbers. Some of these categories, like advertising, are growing at three-figure rates. So it's not a surprise they'd come down slightly.
A higher pay for warehouse workers could hurt the bottom line as well. Amazon's boosting pay to at least $15 an hour. That move will affect 400,000 employees. Amazon isn't disclosing the total cost.
Shares of Alphabet are down 5% after a decline in ad prices helped contribute to earnings that missed estimates. Bloomberg's Ramy Inocencio has details.
The concern was about cost, traffic, acquisition costs in particular. That rose to its highest ever at more than $6.5 billion. This is what Alphabet is paying to its partners to distribute its search engine along with its ads. And this cost made up 23% of its ad revenue. And that's the same as the second quarter. Ramy Inocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
All right, thanks, Ramy. Those tech earnings weighed on sentiment in Asia today, with the regional equity benchmark index posting its sixth loss in seven sessions. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann reports from Hong Kong.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Asian stocks sunk deeper into bear market territory. Disappointing earnings from Alphabet and Amazon after hours sparked a sell-off in tech stocks to the region. Korean stocks, one of the biggest losers on Friday. The KOSPI was down 1.75% on earnings concerns. And Chinese stocks struggled again, lower by more than 0.7% for the CSI 300, with the offshore renminbi close to the all-time low during the regular session. Japan swung between gains and losses, only to and lower, down 0.3%. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Yvonne. And like you said, we are watching China's currency as it nears the weakest level in more than a decade. Bloomberg Markets reporter Mark Cranfield has more on that from Singapore.
The dollar yuan exchange rate pushed even further upwards today, and it's taken most of the currencies with it. The PBOC has been trying to talk it down slightly, but the move has been pretty substantial. So it's really all about whether the dollar yuan is actually going to get to this 7 level or possibly even beyond it. The dollar is extremely strong, and it's mostly being driven out of China.
Checking China's currency now, the yuan is trading at 6.9593 against the dollar.
And stocks in Europe are under pressure this morning as well, with indexes posting losses in excess of 1%. Joining us live with the latest from London is Bloomberg Sebastian Salek. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Stock 600 now down by 1.6%, touching the lowest since December of 2016. You're seeing all of the sectors lower. The car parts are among those that are the hardest hit. This is, we had earnings from Valeo, the shares plunging there after a profit forecast. They're citing a slowdown in China and new rules on emissions testing in Europe. The stock down by more than 21%. We're also looking at Electrolux, the home appliance maker. That's sinking as it says higher costs will continue into 2019 and the North American market not prepared to pay those higher prices. The stock plunging by the most in almost 3 years. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Here in the U.S., we get the first reading on third quarter GDP at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast growth of 3.3%. Here with more is Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee.
The economy downshifted a bit in the third quarter, analysts say, from great to merely very good. The tailwind of tax cuts likely helped consumer spending and business investment drive growth. Inventories and government spending also contributed. Subtracting from growth, an ever-increasing trade deficit, and Hurricane Florence, which may shave household spending and industrial output. The impact of the GDP numbers on the markets isn't clear. Many analysts project growth will cool into 2019 as the tax cut boost fades, borrowing costs climb, and inflation firms up amid Trump's trade war with China. In New York, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Michael. And ahead of the GDP report, Michael speaks with Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. Catch the conversation at 8 a.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Got some earnings out of Europe to tell you about. Royal Bank of Scotland reported operating profit that beat estimates, but that's being overshadowed by a plan to set aside more than $120 million in provisions for uncertainty over Brexit. Shares of RBS are down about 4% now in London.
Shares of Total are down nearly 3% in Paris. The energy company said it will restrain spending this year, even after third quarter profits surged more than expected. That's thanks to rising oil prices and production. Futures moving lower this morning. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 now on Wall Street. And here's Pat Carroll to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. The investigation into the 10 mailed pipe bombs is focusing on Florida today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the latest.
Authorities are saying the devices contain timers and batteries, that they were not rigged like booby traps, and are still uncertain whether they were just of poor design or were just meant to create fear and tension and not explode. So, Florida today, where investigators are honing in on a postal facility in Opa-locka, where they believe some, at least, of the packages originated. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All of the packages discovered since Monday have return addresses from Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who says we are living in dangerous times.
We will never be cowed into submission by people who hate. Never. Never.
None of the devices so far exploded on their own. The Trump administration is weighing options to prevent undocumented migrants from crossing the U.S. border from Mexico. One possibility is a travel ban, using the same authority as the administration's earlier travel ban on people coming from Muslim countries. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen tells Fox News she's concerned with the safety of her officers.
I want to make it very clear, we will absolutely not tolerate violence against Border Patrol in this situation. These are dedicated men and women risking their lives every day. I will not tolerate Mexicans or anybody else acting in a violent way towards our men and women on the border.
Less than 2 weeks before the elections, President Trump has announced a plan to lower prices for some prescription drugs. He says he's targeting global freeloading that has Americans subsidizing lower drug prices in foreign countries. Saudi officials are close to acknowledging the murder of Jamal Khashoggi was premeditated. Meanwhile, CIA Director Gina Haspel has briefed President Trump on her trip to Turkey, where the Washington Post reports she heard an audio tape of Khashoggi's interrogation and killing. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, Pat. It is 6:09 now on Wall Street. Rob Bushk is here with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Good morning, Nathan. Two of the three local hockey clubs on the ice Thursday night, and both came up short as the Rangers were dumped in Chicago 4-1. For Coach David Quinn, the Blue Shirts were off all night.
That just wasn't, really probably as poor as we've played all year. And, you know, one of the things I think we've done a good job of is skating, competing, but that certainly wasn't the case tonight. And going to get back to work here, get a day off tomorrow, I'm going to get back to work on Saturday. You know, that's just not acceptable.
Rangers 3-6-1, stuck on 7 points. Devils didn't fare much better at home, falling 4-3 in overtime to Nashville. Keith Kincaid stopped 32 shots in a losing cause. Thursday night football ushered in week 8 of the NFL from Houston. All Texans, 42-23 over Miami. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson.
While you're out there, I mean, you work so hard to get to this stage and this point. And whenever you have success, why not celebrate? So that's what we did tonight. It was a lot of fun, a lot of smiles, and we just kept it going. Even when adversity hit a little bit, you know, we just kept pushing and kept smiling through it.
Houston's won 5 straight after an 0-3 start. Jets visit the Bears. Giants host the Redskins. Both games 1 o'clock on Sunday. World Series resumes from L.A. tonight. Game 3 between the Red Sox and Dodgers. Boston's up 2-0. The Dodgers' Chris Taylor says it's a must-win.
We just got to start fresh. We're going back home where we want to be in front of our home crowd. We got to win a game, you know, just going in. Our focus is winning game 1 at home.
First pitch just after 8 o'clock, Rick Porcello against Walker Buehler. In college football, top 25, 13th-ranked West Virginia clobbered Baylor 58-14. Number 25, Appalachian State upset at Georgia Southern. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. Just in time for Game 3 of the World Series, Bloomberg Business of Sports Show tonight speaks to the man in charge of the money at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tucker Kane, Chief Financial Officer for the Dodgers and Managing Director at Guggenheim Baseball Management, is our guest on Bloomberg Business of Sports. You can catch the conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. You can always download the Apple Podcast on iTunes as well. S&P futures down 1.3% now. Dow futures down nearly 1%. NASDAQ futures down 2.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burden. Visit burdenllp.com/radio.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at a 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Amazon, Alphabet, and Snap disappointed, and shares slumped in late trading. Amazon's revenue and profit forecast for the holiday quarter fell short. Alphabet slipped up too, citing traffic acquisition costs, while Snap said daily users fell for a second quarter. Cleveland Fed Chief Loretta Mester is optimistic. She says markets are far from a scenario in which falling equity prices will lead to slower growth. Citi's more bearish, meanwhile. The firm boosted its overweight recommendation on treasuries, citing the risk of the Fed tightening just as growth has peaks. And Total crushed third quarter estimates. The oil company also lifted its production guidance for the year. Still, the stock fell as Total offered no additional rewards for shareholders. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. And futures are lower. S&P futures down 33 points. Dow futures down 223. NASDAQ futures down 162. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 3.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 88 cents to $66.45 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $6.80 to $12.39.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1358. The yen, 111.97. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Pat Carroll with more on what's going on around the world. Pat.
Thanks, Karen. The pipe bomb investigation is focusing on a postal facility in southern Florida. 2 weeks before the election, President Trump has announced a plan to lower prescription drug prices. The Trump administration is looking into a possible travel ban to keep undocumented migrants from crossing into the U.S. from Mexico. In sports, the World Series resumes tonight in Los Angeles for Game 3. Red Sox are up 2-0 over the Dodgers. In the NHL, the Rangers and Devils lost, along with the Capitals. The Bruins won. In the NBA, the Celtics were winners. Thursday night football, the Texans beat the Dolphins 42-23. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, Pat. We're coming up on 620 now on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're a little bit more than 2 hours away from the first read on third quarter GDP. It arrives at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Ahead of that, let's bring in Carl Wickedani. He's the chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. Good morning, Carl. Happy Friday. Your team has been saying GDP is going to go from great again to good again. So a bit of the brakes getting put on here, you think?
Sure. Well, maybe not the brakes, but just easing off of the accelerator. Yeah. We grew at a 4.2% pace in the second quarter. That was really not reflective of underlying conditions. It was kind of a perfect storm, if you will, of economic factors coming together, households responding to tax cuts, businesses responding to tax cuts, and then a lot of businesses and producers rushing product out before the beginning of the trade war. So that gave us 4.2% growth in Q2. We'll see some moderation from that trend. Still these wild swings in categories like inventories and net exports, but we'll be closer to a 3% growth rate for Q3. And that moderation trend will spill over into the fourth quarter as well. But I guess that's a conversation for another day.
Right. I guess 3 months from now, Carl. Talking exactly. Of perfect storm, you see Hurricane Florence and Michael putting a damper on GDP as well?
Well, we certainly saw an impact in the last jobs report, and we'll get an update on that a week from today when we get to look at the October jobs data. Likely that was pretty late in the quarter to have much of an impact. Occasionally we do see these impacts from storms that depress activity. More importantly, though, rather than the depressant due to lost production, I suspect we'll see some positive contribution heading into the fourth quarter due to recovery and rebuilding efforts. That tends to actually be the stronger impact on the numbers, the rebuilding, not the actual storm impact.
And talking of wild gyrations of late, we're certainly seeing those in the markets. And we've just heard from the president of the Cleveland Federal Reserve, Loretta Mester, and Vice Chair Richard Clarida talking about whether market action could affect the rate path.
Well, as you mentioned, wild gyrations, no wild gyrations from Loretta Mester of the Cleveland Fed. She spoke last evening. She really believes that we're far from the type of market route that would actually impact risk taking and potentially sway Fed decision making. She also doesn't really see the economy swerving from the perch that it's been on, and she sees healthy GDP growth. And very little change for her medium-term economic outlook. And again, as we heard from Vice Chair Clarida earlier yesterday, he is very much behind Jay Powell in this sort of open-minded look at how fast the economy can grow without generating too much inflation pressure. So very much falling into the same category as Jay Powell when we think about the hawkish versus dovish rating of each policymaker.
And, of course, you know just about as well as anybody how much pressure President Trump has been trying to put on in terms of the rate path. Almost unprecedented, the amount of political pressure he's putting on. And it doesn't seem as though the Fed is swayed.
Well, if we go back to the Vietnam War era, we can see even more pressure if we'll count literally being harangued by the president and rumored to actually even being pressured almost physically put the right monetary policy in place for the administration. However, certainly threats that are leaning in the direction of removing the Fed chair and that sort of thing do put an unusual amount of pressure on the Fed. And the Fed really values its independence, and I suspect it's going to take every effort possible to not respond to this type of political pressure and instead set policy based on what's appropriate for the economy.
All right, real quick answer. What's your prediction on the GDP number?
GDP were a little bit lower than consensus. We're at 3.2% today. Again, watch consumer spending, business investment. The headline could have wild swings due to exports and inventory numbers.
Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. Good to have you on. And again, the U.S. GDP number comes out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Ahead of that, we'll be hearing from the Dallas Fed president at 8 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Tune in for that as well. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are down almost 1.2% following stocks in Europe and Asia lower as disappointing earnings from Amazon and Alphabet weigh on sentiment. Amazon gave a revenue forecast for the holiday season that missed estimates, and Alphabet said lower ad fees are weighing on growth. Still, analysts like Daniel Flax at Neuberger Berman remain bullish on both companies.
While we'll certainly see how this next holiday season plays out, Amazon remains very, very focused on making investments for the longer term. And so we still like the story. Shift to Google or Alphabet, the overall numbers were just fine. The core search business remains very healthy. The company is seeing good strength in the YouTube asset. The cloud business is doing well. While we expect continued volatility in the shares, we think if one looks out over the next 1 to 2 years, both Amazon and Alphabet remain attractive names.
In early trading, shares of Amazon are down nearly 10%, while Alphabet is lower by 5%.
Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are down 4% after reporting operating profit that beat estimates, but that's being overshadowed by a plan to set aside more than $120 million in provisions for uncertainty over Brexit.
Shares of Rolls-Royce down 9% after the company said it's running into production hurdles on the engine for the new A33neo jet for Airbus.
Here in the U.S., we get the first reading on third quarter GDP at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast growth of 3.3%. 6:32 on Wall Street, time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 24.22. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 26.69. That is this morning's volatility report.
And Nathan, with the VIX, S&P futures, checking the VIX right now, it's at 26.69. Oh, sorry. And the futures are lower. S&P futures down 32 points. Dow futures down 224. NASDAQ futures down 152. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. The 10-year Treasury up 10/32. The yield 3.07%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.33% or 89 cents to $66.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.40 to $12.38.80 an ounce. The euro at $1.1357 and the yen at 111.97. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 now on Wall Street. Pat Carroll's here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is said to be considering an order that would serve as a type of travel ban to bar migrants. Bloomberg's Michael Barr reports.
If the order is implemented, it would effectively bar those seeking asylum from entering the U.S. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. It comes as thousands of Central American migrants are making their way through Mexico toward the border. A travel ban announced shortly after Trump took office affected people from 7 countries, 5 of them with Muslim majorities. The executive order being looked at now would deny asylum claims based on national security concerns. Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Investigators looking into the pipe bomb sent to critics of President Trump this week are focusing on a postal facility in southern Florida. All 10 discovered this week had return addresses from Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whose district is in southern Florida.
We will never be cowed into submission by people who hate. Never. Never.
One of the packages was sent to former Vice President Joe Biden.
My hope and prayer is that all of our leaders will work to lower the temperature in our public dialogue. And I have faith they will do that.
President Trump has announced a plan to lower prices for some prescription drugs, Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
If the president gets his way, a longtime practice that he claims amounts to global freeloading by other nations will end.
Americans pay more so that other countries can pay less. Very simple.
He's proposing to cut what Medicare pays for many costly drugs to match lower prices paid by European countries that more strictly control pharmaceutical costs. The world has been reaping the benefits of American genius and innovation, he says, while American citizens have been stuck with the tab.
The American middle class is effectively funding virtually all drug research and development for the entire planet.
The Department of Health and Human Services figures pricing drugs using a global index would save the government more than $17 billion over 5 years. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Pat. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers were roughed up in Chicago 4-1. Pavel Buchnevich, the lone goal for New York, who failed to put pressure on Hawks netminder Corey Crawford, who blocked just 18 shots on the night. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane both lit the lamp for Chicago. The Rangers are 3-6-1. Devils skated to the extra session at home before falling 4-3 to the Predators. Nashville was consistent, scoring one goal in each period, including the game winner. Week 8 of the NFL saw the Texans almost double up Miami in the Lone Star State.
Watson throws it downfield, and it is caught at the 25. Will Fuller is gone down the right sideline for the touchdown. What an answer! 73 yards on the bomb from Watson.
Westwood won on the call 42-23 Houston as their quarterback Deshaun Watson was 16 of 20, threw five touchdown passes, had a QB rating of 99, while his counterpart Brock Osweiler was picked off and finished with a QBR of 22. Speaking of QBs, Jets' Sam Darnold prepares his team for battle, talks about his first trip to Soldier Field to meet the Bears.
Being consistent, I got to play consistent, and our whole offense is, we just got to stay within ourselves. Take what the defense gives us, run the football.
Eli Manning and the Giants host the Redskins. Both games are Sunday at 1 o'clock. And on the diamond, Game 3 of the World Series from L.A., Red Sox are up 2-0 on the Dodgers. Boston's J.D. Martinez bothered by a sore ankle, his skipper Alex Cora.
He's going to get treatment tonight. He'll get treatment tomorrow morning in the afternoon, and they will make a decision, but he'll let us know.
First pitch is 8:09. Walker Buehler hosts Rick Porcello. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Rob. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
In its earliest days, the Trump administration was plagued by security lapses. Since then, the White House has mostly gotten its act together. But according to the New York Times, Trump has continued to use his personal iPhone despite insistent warnings that he could be jeopardizing national security, and he has persisted even after being told that China and Russia are listening in. By any reckoning, it's a serious risk. An unsecured smartphone offers a rich target for motivated spies. Trump's predecessor used a phone that had its camera and microphone removed and its capabilities restricted. Trump has resisted. It seems the phones provided by the NSA won't let him store contacts, so he'd have to dial his friends manually. That seems little to ask to protect national security. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street. This week, President Trump signed into law a bipartisan opioid plan, but there are some issues that weren't fully addressed in it. Nancy Lyons reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The law expands drug treatment options and allows Medicaid-assisted treatment, but officials want to also widen the availability of the overdose treatment naloxone.
They're considering whether or not naloxone should be co-prescribed with opioids, and with that comes problems of could there be drug shortages.
Bloomberg Law's Jackie Lee says pharmacists may need to play a bigger role as well.
We're going to see more conversations between agencies and pharmacists themselves to kind of figure out when it's appropriate to decline to fill a prescription.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Have we been going about this climate change challenge all wrong, or are we just left with no other choice? Scientists are now suggesting that avoiding the worst consequences of climate change will require doing something unprecedented, sucking fossil fuel pollution directly from the atmosphere at a global scale. A report from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine is calling for the U.S. government to quickly launch a major research effort to scale up carbon dioxide removal or negative emissions technologies. That way, large amounts of fossil fuel pollution can be removed from the sky by 2050 before climate change spirals out of control. The report's authors say there's no time to waste. Think of it as a massive vacuum cleaner for the sky, or perhaps a global air filtration system. It's climate action upon which apparently even the Trump administration can agree. In February, the president signed a federal budget that included a tax credit for direct air capture technology development. Some scientists are skeptical, though, that carbon removal can be effective. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Tech earnings disappointment has red on the screen this morning. S&P futures down 32 points, a drop of 1.2%. Dow futures down 231. That's a 0.9% decline. NASDAQ futures down 149 points. That is a drop of 2.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And a reminder to listen to the Bloomberg Daybreak Weekend program, getting you set up for the week ahead on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are under pressure after Amazon and Alphabet earnings. Dow futures currently down 243 points. S&P's dropped 34, and NASDAQ futures declined by 165. The U.S. 10-year falls to 3.08%, and Hong Kong fell 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 2% losses in France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, GDP, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Amazon sales missed estimates. Shares are down 10% in the pre-market. Alphabet sales also missed. Shares are down 6%. And Western Digital forecast missed estimates. Shares are down 14% in the pre-market. In deal news, CNBC reported that Mellanox is working with an advisor on a potential sale. And regarding earnings this morning, look for a Colgate to report around 7 a.m., Ryder around 8. Wrapping things up, Fiat Chrysler was downgraded to hold at HSBC. Western Digital downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Gilead was downgraded to neutral at Piper. And Cerner downgraded to sector perform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Pat Carroll with more on what's going on around the world. Pat.
Thanks, Karen. The Turkish president says Saudi Arabia's chief prosecutor will arrive in Turkey on Sunday as part of the investigation into the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. President Trump's announced a plan to lower prices for some prescription drugs. The World Series resumes tonight in L.A. It's Game 3. The Red Sox are up 2-0 over the Dodgers. In the NHL, the Rangers and Devils lost, along with the Capitals. The Bruins won. NBA Celtics were winners. Thursday night football, Texans beat the Dolphins. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, a portrait created by artificial intelligence fetched $432,500 at Christie's in New York yesterday. Nathan, it's the first time a computer-generated work was offered by a major auction house. You want to know how it was created? I don't want to say painted.
I do. Oh, it wasn't painted, was it?
They fed a data set of 15,000 portraits painted between the 14th and 20th centuries into the system. It was the brainchild of a Paris-based collective called Obvious Art.
Not so obvious that it would rake in that much money, but obvious now that... That robots are taking all the jobs.
There you go. Global news, 24 hours a day on air, and a TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks for that artificial impressionism, Pat. Appreciate that. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where we're coming up on 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check out what's going on in D.C. and some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump speaking to attendees of the 2018 Young Black Leadership Summit at the White House today before he holds a rally in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight with 11 days till the midterms. Of course, we get the first estimate of third quarter GDP. First read on that comes out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Also making news this morning, reports that President Trump is considering an executive order to bar migrants at the U.S.-Mexican border. For more on this, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us. And Kate, from what our sources are telling us, this sounds quite a lot like the travel ban from the beginning of the Trump presidency.
It does. And we'll recall that that travel ban actually targeted predominantly majority Muslim countries. And so and that's a, you know, limiting or ending migration from Muslim countries was something that Trump talked about during his presidential campaign. So I think it's interesting that now here we are, you know, 11 days out from the midterms, and Trump is once again apparently talking about or considering, you know, having a ban that's based on a similar model.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like ginning up the base to a great extent here, but could the president be opening himself up to the same sort of legal scrutiny that the travel ban received if this is a serious move on the president's part?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that in some regards, you know, the president and his staff have probably learned from their experience in the first travel ban, which, you know, encountered a lot of legal difficulty and eventually had to be substantially rewritten. And so I would imagine they would, you know, take that into consideration as they craft this latest travel ban. But I'm certain this too would probably draw legal challenges pretty quickly.
How does this affect Republicans politically? Because we know how difficult this issue has been for Republicans on Capitol Hill just to craft some kind of immigration reform.
Yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of appetite in recent years to do that. I think that, you know, the most serious recent effort was in 2013 when the Senate, which was controlled by Democrats at the time, passed a comprehensive immigration overhaul bill. And that legislation, as we all recall, didn't go anywhere in the House, which was Republican controlled at the time. And, you know, since Republicans have controlled both chambers of Congress and now the White House, there hasn't been a whole lot of appetite for moving on broad-based immigration reform. What we've seen more is kind of this rifle shot approach that's been focused on really cracking down on immigration at the border, which, as you point out, is an issue that resonates with the Republican base. And I think, you know, at a time when Republicans are particularly concerned about making sure that they don't lose out on the enthusiasm in this midterm election to Democrats, who are pretty motivated to move again, you know, to move on something, you know, to try to beat back against the Trump campaign. It seems as though this could be a winning strategy, they're hoping now.
All right, let's move on to something else that's been driving a lot of partisan rancor, these mail bombs that have been aimed at addressed to presidential critics. As the investigation goes on now, I guess we have some evidence that to some extent it's keeping the president up at night.
Yeah, the president tweeted at 3:14 a.m. this morning Eastern Time about, you know, his launching basically his latest attack at CNN, which, you know, he loves to call fake news. And, you know, I think that while the content of his tweet was not particularly newsy in the sense that he's long criticized CNN and you know, media outlets, what's interesting about this is that I think he's drawing the strongest connection so far to kind of blaming the media for its coverage of this recent string of bombing attacks and against his political rivals. And also, more significantly, even just the timing of the tweet, it's unusual to see the president, you know, tweeting. You know, he's an early morning tweeter, but not quite that early usually.
Yeah, I think a lot of people
people in Washington have gotten used to the 6 a.m. tweets from President Trump. I mean, dig in a little bit to the significance of the fact that, well before the sun comes up, President Trump is on his Twitter.
Yeah, it made me think, you know, there was a very famous campaign ad in 2008 that, Hillary Clinton's campaign actually ran against the Obama campaign. It was called the 3 a.m. call ad. And basically the gist of it was, you know, who do you want in the White House answering, you know, the call about a crisis at 3 in the morning? It made me think of that, you know, and here we are at a time years later, you know, 10 years after that, we're here and we have the president, you know, tweeting himself at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you could say he's putting out the call. Thanks, as always, for this. Hope you have a great weekend, Kate. That's Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter, Washington reporter for Bloomberg News. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In several House races, Democrats have run ads blasting Republican congressmen for voting with President Trump nearly all the time. But voters shouldn't read too much importance into the percentages. The percentages don't really tell you which congressmen are most and least helpful to President Trump. Thomas Massey, a conservative Republican from northeastern Kentucky, has been much less critical of Trump than Northern Virginia Congresswoman Barbara Comstock has. But Massey voted against disaster relief for Puerto Rico, budget agreements, a bipartisan bill to combat opioid abuse, and a school safety bill that passed nearly unanimously. None of Massey's votes inflicted any political damage on Trump, and Trump doesn't seem upset about them. But Massey's score is much lower than Comstock's as a result. If you oppose Trump, you may reasonably wish to punish a congressman for being a close ally of his. Use these percentages as a guide, though, and you might be punishing some of the wrong things. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker.
A Labor Department proposal could expand small businesses' ability to provide retirement savings plans to their employees. The proposal comes as a follow-up to the DOL's recent expansion of small business health care options, known as the Association Health Plan. The association retirement plans, commonly known as multiple employer plans or MEPs, allow employers to band together in a group and offer a 401k retirement plan. Currently, only related employers like franchises can get coverage from such a retirement plan. Fewer than 50% of small businesses or employers with 1 to 49 workers offer a retirement savings plan of any kind to their workers. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The proposed rule for association retirement plans would loosen the definition of the word employer to include more businesses like self-employed people. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And again, futures are moving lower this morning. We are watching some technology companies fall in early trading after we got some earnings reports after the bell yesterday. Snap down more than 13%. Intel is moving higher. It's up 0.4%, while Amazon.com is down about 10%. Of course, we'll be watching all those stocks and more on Bloomberg Surveillance, which is straight ahead. Right now, S&P futures are down 34 points, Dow futures down 246, and NASDAQ futures down about 170. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5%. Again, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.